All right, everyone, let's try this again. I can't speak today. This is what we've discovered on a Friday, which will roll perfectly into my first topic today.
Ankle cast is too tight.
Oh, maybe it's cutting off blood.
Poor Heather.
Maybe it's cutting off blood supply to my brain. Yes. Welcome to Around the Mic, everyone. A little bit of bonus content from SoJo 104.9. I'm Heather DeLuca, joined by Mike Richmond, Social Spring Gonzalez of The Mike Show. And my first topic today, my only topic really, came to me in the shower. Does that ever happen to you?
Yes, those are my best ideas, and then I leave the shower and I forget.
Yes, so it took me 2 days to remember this because it left my brain, and I've been racking my brain trying to think of what this topic was ever since. And then I was in someone's office yesterday, and I saw a post-it note, and it popped into my mind. Don't know why, and here we are.
Okay.
So I want to know, what movie have you seen ever that just like completely messed you up? Something that has stayed with you, really, or like changed your way of thinking, or.
Ooh. So it doesn't have to be emotional, it just changed you, right?
No,
it didn't
just
you cry or anything.
Well,
stuck with you.
Right.
Yeah, that really kind of stuck with you. Like, messed you up in a big way. I can say.
I have a few movies, actually.
Close to the top of the list is The Notebook.
Really?
Because when I went to see that in the movie theater, I went during the day, like a matinee. I came out of that movie theater with snot crusted down the sleeves of my sweatshirt.
That's hot.
I couldn't, crying so hard that like a vampire, I see the sun and it's like, ugh, because my eyes are so swollen shut. And I cannot watch that movie ever again. It comes on, you know, I see it on the guide and I just got to go right past it. But
too emotional, really.
Yeah, that's the other thing. But see, all right. So
sickeningly emotional.
When you hear mine, you're going to have the same reaction. Like, really? All right. So this movie is really recent, which is surprising because I typically like older movies.
I think I know exactly what you're going to say.
It was La La Land.
Oh.
And it was weird, the reaction it had on me. So La La Land, I went to see by myself. I go to the movies pretty often by myself. And it was something about the ending that struck like a chord with me.
Because
I went home sobbing.
Because
I have never been the girl crying in her car, and I could. It was like heavy heaving. I was like,
exactly. Because it was not a happy ending.
No, it was too realistic.
And it couldn't be.
That's what
because,
it was.
Right.
And I think it just reminded me of myself, and it was just like, oh my God. People don't have together. Love isn't real, doesn't exist because life gets in the way. Telling you, actual tears.
Yeah, that's how I kind of felt coming out of The Notebook.
So,
like the heaving, sobbing, crying.
My movie, it didn't really upset me on a crying level, but it was a movie that I don't know why it affected me the way it did. And every once in a while, I get pieces of it just sort of pop up into
my
head.
See, that's what I'm saying. This a movie that messes you up to the point where you just randomly think about it.
And I was taking a cinema class at the University of Georgia, and it was the first time I ever saw the movie The Graduate. And we were studying the cinematic techniques of how they shot it, how they recorded it, the greasing between scenes and music and how they tied in music with the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw The Graduate for the first time in my cinema class. Mm-hmm. And then immediately went out and bought it on DVD and have watched it a number of times since. And I don't know what it is, but with Dustin Hoffman's character graduating from college and then sliding into that situation with Mrs. Robinson.
Right.
And then everything else, even though he was in love with a daughter, and just that weird, twisted, strange
dynamic.
Yeah. That really, really stuck with me and disturbing, and I don't know why. And I will probably watch it again this weekend.
It's a good, I think, view into the fact that just because you become like a wife and a mother doesn't mean you lose your desires. Like, do you ever think about
it?
Your parents as being people and having a life like before they were just mom and dad to you?
Do you ever think to ask?
My mother, yes. My father, no.
Uh-huh.
My mom, yes. My mom has always been open. And there, I have a picture of her when she used to date a Chippendales guy. And it's so funny because the guy that she went out with looks like a guy I went out with. And the only thing I thought was, I've become my mother.
Yeah,
like, I
have
am
the same
my
taste.
Mother. Cr- crazy.
So the reason why I thought of this topic is there's a movie with Julianne Moore and Alec Baldwin called Still Alice. Mm-hmm. And Still Alice was the name of the book. Anyway, Still Alice, she is a, Julianne Moore plays a very, very like sought after and somebody that gives, you know, speeches all over the country and all over the world. She's a professor, like at the top of her game.
Yes.
And she goes through early onset dementia. And the film takes you on the very speedy decline of her health. And because I'm 41 now, anytime I forget anything, like the gift basket incident yesterday,
right?
I think that that's happening to me. Like my biggest fear after watching that movie is having early onset dementia or Alzheimer's, even though it does not run in my family.
I think that's a reasonable fear.
So that
a little unreasonable because it doesn't run in your family, but a reasonable fear.
Messed me up. And so I just wanted to know if you felt like that.
I do hate that, though, when you hear or you see something or you read about a particular health issue that somebody has, then all of a sudden, my friend was telling me about, he had a heart attack. He's a young guy. He's not much older than me, but he had a heart attack. And I was like, well, how did you know you were having a heart attack? He goes, well, my arm started going numb. And as he's telling me all these symptoms, I was like, well, my arm's kind of numb.
It's psychosomatic. I understand what you're saying.
I read Lance Armstrong's biography, and then after that, I'm like checking myself. I'm
geez.
Well, that kind of hurts.
So that's so funny
because my grandmother had a slight stroke on 4th of July weekend, and the only thing I thought was, whoa, like I have heart pains also. And the only thing I'm thinking is, was the last time I've been to a doctor? I have no idea. There could be something going on with me, and I have no idea I'm as stubborn as my grandmother.
So Ryan Reynolds had a really funny Instagram post recently that says, I can go from surfing WebMD to coffin shopping in 9 minutes. Because, like, your mind just plays games with you. But one of the other movies I feel this way about was the movie Contact with Jodie Foster.
Really?
Yes.
The space movie?
The space movie, yeah. And there's a lot of religious, scientific, political undertones to this movie. And after I saw it, I went and bought every book Carl Sagan had ever written.
Whoa.
And it really changed my perspective of the world. I understand, like,
billions and billions of stuff.
Yes, exactly. And you know, that movie was somewhat critically panned. It made a ton of money. It was directed by Robert Zemeckis, who, you know, did Forrest Gump and Back to the Future. So, but at the end of the movie, you know, she travels all the way through space and.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm like, I have no idea what
And it's like, they get to the end and they're like, it's her dad. Like, it's her dad this whole time. And like, did she go or didn't she go? Did the contraption that was supposed to send her into outer space to connect with extraterrestrials fail? Did it actually happen? But it wasn't so much like the visual of it all.
Right.
And did she go? Didn't she go? It was more like the scientific versus religious. Like, and I realized then I'm somebody who just really kind of only believes what I can see and feel and is scientifically proven. And that's when I completely renounced my Catholicism.
You would be a perfect candidate for Scientology.
No, actually, I wouldn't.
You cannot say that too loud.
Not to me. First of all, they'll show up in my driveway tomorrow. Number two, no, I don't want to be brainwashed. And by the way, Scientology is so not based in science at all. They think that there are...
She has very strong opinions about this for a reason.
Spring knows this.
Yep, that's why I'm like typing all the way over here. I'm
that there are aliens inhabiting this earth, and you have to be a certain type of human being and get to a certain level to fight off these thetans to clear the planet.
And you're not,
it's literally insane.
You're not at that level yet, is what you're saying.
No, oh I believe I evolved from something, even if it came out of mud or some amoeba.
But that's science.
That's science, but that's not Scientology. Oh, he knows how to push my buttons.
But Scientology is the meshing of religion and science.
It is not at all.
Faith and science.
I have read numerous L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology textbooks.
I'm getting hot, guys.
She's looked into this spring.
I have.
She's read up on it.
Into this.
I swear to God.
She's curious about it.
I said,
wouldn't you be? It's insanity.
I said to Spring, I'm concerned because my brother and I also do a side podcast, and he's got one of these bookcases behind him from where we sit to record that is color coordinated, you know, Roy G. Biv, like up and down. But he's got an insane amount of Scientology textbooks. It concerns me because I was in a really, really dark place about 10 years ago and I didn't know what to do. And he lives close to the Church of Scientology branch in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who gave me Fundamentals of Thought and told me to read it. Like, this is the only thing that's going to save me. I got to get outside of my own mind. And
it helped, didn't it?
No, it didn't. I was like really considering becoming a Scientologist until I started to do research. And then I was like, oh my gosh, it's brainwashing. I can't get into this because they will show up on my driveway and they'll put a hit out on me.
I believe it.
Or like they'll come after me on Twitter or social media, but whatevs.
So you're more Camp Remini, not Camp Cruise.
100.
Yeah.
100.
Why? What camp are you on?
He's on the camp of pissing me off today.
He's on the camp of let's stir the pot.
Oh, Spring almost got me going the other day. But
with Amelia Earhart. Why don't you just let people be dead?
Sometimes people just die, Spring. Everyone has to be alive. You know, Jimmy Hoffa's not alive.
We don't have enough room for everybody to be alive.
John Kennedy isn't alive. There isn't, you know.
Tupac is alive in Cuba.
No, he's not. He got shot 5 times. Like, he's dead.
Or did he?
Oh, Jesus. D-E-A-D. Dead. Dead as a doornail. I'm very sorry. But Contact was a movie that kind of really changed my mindset. But Still Alice just messed me up because every time I forget something. And even as something as simple as me not paying attention to what I was doing and slipping off my desk. Deck last week, mm-hmm. I was like, if I had been paying attention to what I was doing, if I was fully inside of my mind and concentrating, that would not have happened. So I immediately go to that. Something is burring Swiss cheese holes inside of my brain, and it's going to kill me.
See, no. That's what AI did for me, artificial intelligence.
Oh,
that
really?
With Haley Joel Osment.
And,
I think I was
Jude
like
Law.
5 when I first saw it.
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, and it terrified me because the only thing I thought was, wait, I'm not a robot. I'm going to die. Like, that's not cool.
You're going to want to pull up a segment on artificial intelligence that they just did recently on 60 Minutes.
They made
a person that looks like you, like a full-on human being, but if you take the face away, it's mechanical.
That's
underneath.
Scary.
Yes, it's coming. So
don't say it like that. Why would you say it like that?
Isn't that kind of like what the Scarlett Johansson movie's about?
Her?
With the
Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah, her relaxes me a little more just because I know it's just Siri, like an advanced version
it's
of Siri.
It's an advanced version of
but
Siri. Artificial
intelligence?
Yeah. That there could be people
like
walking
like
around
that.
Where you won't be able to know to
because
tell the difference.
Because you know they will turn against us.
And
why
and,
would they turn against
and
us?
And are you able, and is killing them considered, you know, like murder?
Yeah.
You know, but no, because it's just like, and no different than me taking any crappy CPU out, you know, office
but
space
then it
style.
But it gets confusing when it looks like you.
Why would they turn against us? It's like,
haven't you seen iRobot?
It's like the same thing with like if aliens came down, they would kill us.
Yeah,
why
is it always that they have intentions of killing off humanity and taking over our planet? Why can't they just be looking for a connection the way we're searching for them?
Yeah, looking for friends. Hey, how you doing?
Because
we're stopping in for the barbecue.
Like the Jetsons, you know?
There could always be faulty ones. I always expect the worst. Wow, I definitely sound like the daughter of a detective.
Well, it's like, look at us humans. Look at us humans. We're looking to other planets and other galaxies in search of life. We're not looking to kill that life.
We're curious.
We're
we
curious.
Want to go and connect and learn.
Well, I mean, we were curious about the Americas, and look what we did to the Native Americans.
Well, that's different. That's colonization and taking over.
It could be colonization if we find another planet.
That's true. What would make it different? No, it's true. You know, because there will always be men that want to claim a space as their own and will use measures of violence and any means to obtain it.
So what if there's that one faulty robot who has that kind of mentality that human beings aren't enough and they are superior?
Watch Westworld on HBO.
Oh, I've heard of Westworld.
Yes.
Well, until robots could build themselves, they still need the humans.
To build them.
And how long is that would take? Because in a matter of time, human beings are just going to say, okay, we'll let robots
As long as we build a robot with a self-destruct timer in it. uh-huh. to where they will die.
Or like that that they have
that's
like
what I would do. I'd build one
a shutoff button or something. Yeah. Like a safe word.
Right, because in all these movies, they have all of those like safety nets to do that. And then there's that one robot who slips through the
Like Terminator.
Well, quality control. You got to make sure you got them all right.
Because then what if you have like that mad scientist that figures it out?
So,
that
and there will scientist. Always be. So there was a really campy B movie in the mid 80s that Emilio Estevez was in called Maximum Overdrive.
Okay.
Where that happened. Some sort of lightning strike came out of the sky.
Okay.
And
wasn't that a Stephen King book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And activated all of everything from tractor trailers to electric knives to soda machines. Became
my God, not the soda machines,
which all sounds cool.
Self-motivated and killing people,
vindictive. Yeah,
yeah. They were like evil. They had minds of their own, and so I don't know how far technology will go.
Could you imagine a soda machine acting up?
It could happen. Spring, stop laughing.
It killed the soccer. It killed the baseball coach.
Soda machine.
It shot so many.
Do you see what I mean?
Too much soda will kill you.
So many cans.
Well, that's what they say in Philly.
Like as fast as, like one of those pitching machines.
Yeah.
It was shooting out cans of full soda, and it smacked the guy in the head numerous times. And like, oh, I'm sorry.
Which is fine. No, that's good. That's good. You're giving me more evidence.
Keep in mind, it's a work of fiction by Stephen King.
What did I tell you? My father tells me always, eyes open, trust no one. That is always my mentality. So if you present to me artificial intelligence immediately, the first thing I'm going to think is, this thing's going to kill me one day.
It won't in your lifetime.
Oh, that's comforting.
You'll be dead before that happens.
No,
that's
maybe so not.
You'll be dead before
maybe
robots
not
will kill
warm
you.
Our lifetime, Mike. But possibly hers.
Eh.
Possibly your kids. You have to.
That's.
That's Mike because he's important.
Okay, robot. No, because it's time for us to go. Should we end it here?
Okay.
For the week. Okay.
I hear that a lot.
Thanks for checking out Around the Mic here on SoJo 104.9.
Tell me about it.
Thanks for subscribing. If you like it, give us a good rating. It
God
just makes us feel better. Mike Richmond and Social Spring Gonzalez can be heard on the Mike Show weekdays 5:30 to 10. I'm Heather DeLuca. We'll talk to you next week on Around the Mic. Wait,
there
bye.
There they go. Look at them. Look at them.